Chapter 1 and verse number 8 in your Bible. I appreciate you turning there into the book of Joshua, chapter 1 and verse 8. And let me start reading here. Let me start reading about verse 6. And we've been looking here with Joshua about the time that Moses died, and the Lord has approached Joshua about taking over responsibilities to lead the children of Israel. And he told him to be strong and of a good courage. And I'm glad that he didn't just say that. He told him how to be of good courage. And I believe with all my heart that the Lord wants you to be strong and to be of good courage. And you say, well, Lord, how am I to be strong in the things that I am facing? How am I to be of good courage? Well, he hasn't left me in the dark. Down in verse number 6, it says, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. And one of the things that we looked at last week was that they had a responsibility to observe God's word. And remember, we looked at what the law was here. This was the complete revelation of the word of God. We went back to Deuteronomy, and we saw where the Lord had led Moses. He had written 5 books of the Bible, and the Lord told him to do that. And that's what they're enjoying. That's what is he is to observe. And we looked at that word. We found 4 different sides to it that were important. But then he goes on, and let me keep going. It says, that thou mayest observe, this is verse 7, to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And then verse 8, again, he says, be strong. And I think he's given us the keys here to courage, the keys to be strong. And one of them is observance, taking the time to observe what he says. But then in verse 8, he goes a little further. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. You come across that word in our society, in our world, and you just see a weird person with symbols on their fingers, and there's like incense going up and strange musical sounds around them, and they're hmm. And that's not what meditate means there. It's not at all. We want to learn what it means, though. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. How are you going to be strong and one day save your marriage? How are you going to be strong and one day save a child who's wayward and not living right and doing right? How are you going to be strong when you face a turn in life? Life is full of twists and turns, and God has designed them so that no one gets it, all straight. I got a handle on it. Just as soon as you feel that you have a handle on life, I guarantee you God is going to cause you to turn a corner and everything is going to change. How are you going to be strong to do that? Well, down in verse 8, he gives us the keys. And it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And then he promises that if we do have courage and we receive his keys to courage so that we are strong and courageous, then we can prosper and then shalt thou have good success. And in verse 9, lest we get the idea it's not that important, he said it again, have not I commanded thee? It's not a suggestion. I hope when the time comes that you'll feel well enough that you can be strong. No, he says, don't be a snowflake. He says, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, let me point out some things. Down in verse 8, when he talks about this, it all sounds so simple, but it is challenging because he warns us that there is a danger. Did you see that in verse 8? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. So if he's telling me, don't let it depart out of your mouth, there is a very realistic possibility that the average person is going to let that happen. And he is telling us, don't let it happen. Don't let it depart out of your mouth. How in the world could that happen? Well, hold your place there in Joshua. Go over to the New Testament, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2 and verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 1. And let me point out just a few things in this second chapter and one other place in Hebrews. So once you get over there, mark your place in Joshua chapter 1 so you can go right back. But over in chapter 2 and verse 1, there's a scripture I want us to look at and read. You know, this spring I had something happen. I imagine if you've driven a car any length of time in your life, you've had this happen. Spring's a tough time, change in weather. And I went out to start my vehicle, and when I went to start it, it wouldn't turn over. And you know, I thought, oh no, it could be a lot of things. What is it? And I opened the hood, and I looked there at the battery cables, and the devil had put a bunch of acid on those. The devil hadn't done that. It just hadn't been maintained. And there it was. There's a bunch of battery acid. So I had to take those cables off. I had to go in there, get all that battery acid off of there, get it all neutralized. I went and got some soda and stuff. I know there's all kind of ways to do it. That works. And I had to work on it, because there wasn't enough contact between the battery cables and the terminals on the battery. It wasn't getting enough power that it needed at that critical moment. Those cold cranking amps, when it's just sitting idle and you got to turn that engine over, it didn't have enough juice to do it. And, you know, when that happened, preachers always, they see everything as a big sermon illustration. And I was thinking, you know, that is like in my life, it's like in other people's lives, when that very thing happens. They're going along, everything, they haven't noticed, but an area of their life, the Word of God and its impact and ministry is not happening. They're not making contact. I've said this before, said last Sunday. You can be in this service and not come into any contact at all with the Word of God. It is a personal choice to actually think about what is being said. And more than just think, let your heart, that part you can't see, be stirred for the things of the Lord. And let God stir you about what is stirring Him, and He's trying to communicate to you. But I can have a bunch of battery acid. It's called sin. It's called neglect. It's all of those things. And if your heart has not got that contact with the Word of God, the power of the Word of God, hey, in those key moments, you're not going to be strong when you need to be strong. That's why every day you need to be making some contact there. I want you to know what I do as a preacher. I have a lot of backup. I know that I usually try to be reading a book, a good book. I pray about that and ask God to allow me to come across in the course of a year, God help me, 2018, to find some good books, or that, Lord, they would be placed in my hands, and sometimes that happens, and that are a blessing to me, an encouragement to me, and I'm always reading a book. I don't read it, sit down and read it when I'm reading. I try to read it as I have my devotions, and to kind of get the battery acid also. I'm beginning to make some contact. I also have a devotional book that I try to read daily, and I've got four or five that are a great blessing to me, and I rotate those through the years, and then I spend time. I have a Bible reading calendar, and some folks just read in the new, some just read in the old. This one, you read in both the old and new. You read in Psalms and Proverbs every day. That's a preacher's Bible reading calendar, and it's a blessing to me, but I try to make sure that one day doesn't go by that I don't have my heart stirred for something spiritual and that I hear from the Lord. Because the more days that I put where I have devotions, I read, I come to church, I fellowship with others, but I don't get stirred about a thing. I just am going through the motions. It's another day of battery acid buildup on my soul. And it can get thick fast. And you know what? Your heart can be so cold that this happens. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. What does that mean, preacher? It means check under the hood of your spiritual life. Check your battery. Make sure that the cables are connected to the power of the Word of God and that you're getting some juice spiritually. That's what it means. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And so if the Lord is warning me, I'm not so spiritual, I haven't got life down so much that that can't happen to me, can't happen to you. So we don't want to let the spiritual truths that God has already taught us slip away from our influence in our lives because we're not receiving the power of the Word of God. Look in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. This is the time of year where it happens. I tell you what, we just get used to being out of church. Just any old excuse will do. Oh, I tell you what, it's summer, it's hot. I don't think I'll go to church today. Oh, I tell you what, I think my left big toe. Well, that's my right. My left big toe, it's hurting. And you know what? I'll get out there and I won't be able to enjoy the Word of God. And Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, the Lord says, you want to keep the cable on the metal, you know, so that you can get the power that God has stored for you in His Word, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so let's go back to over into the book of Joshua again. So that receding contact, that withdrawing, closing our heart from the Word of God, and allowing God to be replaced with something else that's stirring our heart. Because I want you to know something. If you're alive, and if just real quick, check it. All right, wipe that off. Okay. All right. Yeah, if you're alive, there's warm air coming out of there. Something is stirring your heart. It may be football. It's coming. You know, it may be basketball. It may be crafts. You know, it may be bowling. I don't see why golf could. But anyway, golf could be stirring your heart. But you know what? Something is stirring your heart. And what God says is, if you're going to be strong when it counts, if you're going to have courage, I need to stir your heart daily. I need that contact with you. Now, back over in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, this is so important. I don't want you to miss it. Because you say, oh, preacher, I've heard all that before. Good. I'm glad you have. I'm glad you've been reminded. But the Bible talks about us departing. It warns us. It's a danger. But it also talks about a destructive habit. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Did you notice it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth? Now, what in the world is that talking about? It is the destructive power of the tongue. Let me get you to look at a verse of Scripture, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. It's summer. A lot of folks going. We've got sick folks. It feels a lot like a Sunday night instead of a Sunday morning. So, hey, we'll just pretend like it's Sunday night. We'll look at more Scriptures. Proverbs 18 and verse 21 here. I want you to know something here this morning. God said in that verse, are you eyeballing it? Can you see it? That death and life are in the power of the tongue. It's very important. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Out of my tongue. I am touching people every day. Every day. What comes out of my mouth is touching other human beings. It's either good or it's not so good. It can be disastrous. It can be destructive. There's an old evangelist many years ago used to tell a story. It's always stuck with me. He talked about a young lady. She just had a little baby. And her husband had taken a job in a distant place. It was out in like Minnesota, way out there in the snow country. And it was a dead of winter. And she was on a train. This was train days. People didn't fly out there. You know, if you went somewhere, you took a train. And she caught the train. And as she was getting on the train with this almost newborn baby, I mean, it's going to take that little fella her full attention. You know, just to keep that baby on that train ride. She was very uncomfortable. She had never traveled alone before. And she wasn't really sure the stop that she was supposed to get off of. And, you know, I thought about that when, you know, back when we were in, when we traveled from Italy to Germany. And, you know, I started realizing the train that we were on was going to stop at every city in Europe. It was called EC, and it just seemed like a Greyhound bus. We were stopping at every one. And I thought, what if I fall asleep here, and who knows where? We may end up in Switzerland. I don't know where we're going to end up. But she wasn't sure. She told the conductor, hey, listen, I'm traveling with my little baby. I'm joining my husband. He's taking a job. I'm a little nervous. I've never traveled quite alone like this, and I've never had this kind of responsibility in my hands. Would you make sure I get off at the right stop? And he said, oh, ma'am, no problem at all. That's why I'm here. I'm glad to do that. Thank you for alerting to me. I'll make a note, and I'll make sure you get off where you're supposed to get off. Well, she went about her business. She was comfortable and everything. And just as they were pulling out of the station, a man across the aisle told her, he said, ma'am, I couldn't help but overhear your dilemma. And I want you to know, conductors, they're paid to be positive. They're always positive about things. He's going to get so busy, he's going to forget. But don't worry. I travel this route every week, at least once a week. I'm in business. And I'll make sure that you get off. She said, oh, thank you. And she was able to go back tending the baby and playing with the baby and enjoying this little one. And it wasn't too many miles down the road, maybe an hour or two down the road. The train stopped, and the guy said, hey, you know, this is it. See, I told you, the conductor forgot all about you. This is where you get off. She said, oh, thank you. She gathered her stuff together. She got off, stepped off the train, and then pretty quickly, train started again. They went on down, and then eventually they stopped in a place, and the conductor came down the aisle, and he said, where is that lady that was over here? And he said, well, you missed it. I told her that was her stop. And he said, that wasn't a stop. He said, there were some issues with the train mechanically that we had to stop and check on. There's ice was forming in some places that shouldn't be forming. It needed to be taken care of. And only took a minute. That's why it was such a short stop. She's been let off in the middle of nowhere. And so, boy, I mean, this is old times. They backed that train up as best they could ascertain as to where they had let her off. And by the time they found her, they found a little frozen baby and that lady frozen to death out there. The power of the tongue is great. You realize that as you are receiving the power of the Word of God, as you meditate and think upon the Word of God, which means you're allowing it not just to read it to get it done, or just to read it so you can tell someone else and you can feel good about yourself. It's on my checklist to do. You're actually asking God to speak to you, and you're taking the time that is necessary. We say, preacher, I don't have much time. Well, listen, it doesn't take much time to read the Bible, but meditation on the Bible to think about what God said can take days and months. And so you take that. Some people write a verse down because it's spoken to them and they want to think it through, and they keep it with them, put it in the car. Some people put it up, you know, in the bathroom where they're getting ready and in the mirror there, and they think upon it because they want to receive the truth, the power of God's Word into their hearts, because their tongue is constantly saying things. And today, as I walked around this building, what came of my mouth was either attuned to what God would have to be said, or it was something else. I'm not going to take a survey. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. How many times have you ever got around somebody and said, this person is a pervert? You're talking with them, and six times while you're talking with them, they're saying things that are making you feel creepy and uncomfortable, and you think, I'm just going to avoid this person in the future. Maybe even you work with them, and you do your best to stay away from them. And why is that? Because their mind and heart every day is being fed on lust. They are connecting to lustful things. And so the only thing that can come out of their mouth is something filthy and vile. And so that's what's going to come out. There are some people, and it's a wonderful thing. We always love here in the church when we have a young married couple, and I'm talking about young married, I'm talking about days, I'm talking about weeks. And it's almost like one human being with two heads comes in. They go everywhere together, and you see two heads, and they're constantly moving this way and that way. And if you talk with them, they say, oh, terrible things like Buzzy said. I've got a Proverbs 31 lady. They're saying things like, oh, she's so wonderful. You get kind of sick of it. Oh, listen, keep it to yourself. But you know what? You know what's happening. They're thinking about this person they've fallen in love with, and they're discovering the joy of living with them every day and enjoying their time together. And so they're dwelling on those things. That's what's coming out of their mouth. And that's what he said here. Did you see it in Joshua 1, verse 8? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. There's a danger that I can depart from that contact with the Word of God and a bunch of battery acid form in my life, And the result of it, oh, it's terrible, right? I get kind of cold. Maybe I'm not faithful to church like I should. And maybe I give up my job and my responsibilities in the church. No, what happens is that your heart is going to touch other people because something is replacing the time that should be given to the meditation on the Word of God. It may be money. It may be, oh, don't you love to get around someone who's bitter? I find I can generally have a conversation with someone about 5 to 10 minutes and figure out whether this person has got some aught in their heart against another human being. It doesn't take long. It just, the words start getting icy. You start talking to them and Omaha comes up. And suddenly they turn icy. Oh, Omaha, I said the wrong thing. And they're bitter. And so what comes, they're feeding on that bitterness. What's contacting their heart and mind every day is that bitterness and what's coming out of their tongue. Can you imagine being a mama and raising children? And your heart has got a lot of battery acid on it. The power of the Word of God is not being communicated to your heart. What a mess. Can you imagine being a daddy, trying to lead a family, trying to love your wife, and battery acid is forming on your heart. There's not a contact with the Word of God. And what's coming out of your mouth, there's a whole bunch of stuff because, you know, you're thinking on stuff. Someone once said this, that human beings, it's estimated, have 10,000 thoughts a day. They say that the brain waves of human beings are finer than your fingerprints. We're all different. And that you can be told not only by your fingerprints that you're different from another creature, another human being, but by your brain waves. My brain waves are concentrated on something. And God says, that's why in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, maybe you know that and you can quote it. Remember that chapter 12, verse 1 said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then in verse 2, he says, hey, for you to be useful as you yield your body and your life to me, then you're going to need to be not conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, your 10,000 thoughts. Every day, God says, listen, make sure they are in the right place. So, back in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. There is here a decision. All right, and what is that decision? To digest the Word of God. I know you've heard illustrations of meditation on the Word of God. How many of you have ever heard the illustration of the cow? You've heard. How many? Go ahead. Anybody? I have to tell it? All right, okay. All right, we got the cow. You know, the cow, it sits over there and looks so intelligent, watching the traffic and eating the grass and chews on it, swallows. Evidently got numerous stomachs inside there. And it's a good while. It's a little while to lunch. But anyway, when it gets ready, it may bring some of that back up, chew it a little bit more, and then send it back down to another stomach. But eventually, it gets it to consistency that it knows, and God designed it. I mean, it doesn't check off on its checklist, okay, it's ready, and send it down to the right place where it can give it nourishment. But it has to chew it up and digest it a little bit, bring it back and chew it up until that it can actually get nourishment from the grass or the hay that it is eating. And God says, I want you to do the same thing with my word. I want you to digest it. I want you to take it in. To be able to do that, I have to be pretty serious about this. Again, it's not just going through the motions. And we do a lot of things so that we will feel good about ourselves. I'm very thankful this week. I read something that was very interesting. And I need to talk to a dental hygienist and find out about this. But anyway, I read that they're learning that mouthwash, which I hate mouthwash, but it's on my to-do list. You're supposed to do that. Kill all those germs in there. And that way people can stand closer to you when you talk and stuff. But, that mouthwash, there is a great possibility that because when we use it, you can't tell it to just kill the bad stuff. It kills the good stuff, too. And it's a belief that mouthwash is contributing to a person becoming diabetic, that there are certain bacteria that we need in our digestive tract, and that the advice was talk to your dentist and I've been over there lately. I'm not going to go again here anytime soon. But anyway, you talk to your dentist and find out what he or she thinks. But you know what? A lot of people, the Word of God is like mouthwash. Ooh, my God, it tastes so great. We always get Listerine, okay? And no matter how you try to get the better flavors, it still is awful, you know? And so you're taking it, and I got it off my to-do list. I did right. I'm good. This is more than a to-do list. Oh, God, I need to know your word. I need to connect to it. I have children at my feet. I have a wife to love. I have a Sunday school class to teach. I have a Christian school classroom full of students that need the blessing of daily connection with the Word of God that you're sending through my heart because you and your infinite providence and wisdom have put us together this year. Oh, God, help me. And so we need to be serious. We need to slow down a little bit. Be more deliberate. It's not a world about slowing down. It's a world about speeding up faster. Let's go. Let's move. And yet the Word of God has never been designed to be taken in fast. Got to be taken in slowly. Got to think about it. Pray over it. Chew on it a little bit. Perhaps you've had the joy as a believer of coming to a passage of Scripture and you didn't understand it. And you prayed over it and you thought about it and you thought about it. And then the Lord's through His Holy Spirit, He helps you to understand it. Maybe an incident at work, and you saw, there it is, Lord. I see exactly what your word is saying there. And it stays with you the rest of your life. So I need to be slow, and then I need to speak out loud the Word of God. See, God designed us to be a voice for Him. The Lord could open the heavens, like He did when Jesus was baptized, and say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I well please." But He's not doing that today. In this day of grace, He is actually indwelling human beings when they get saved. The day we get saved, we receive God's Holy Spirit. And He is using these voice boxes and these tongues, and He is speaking to a lost and dying world. And in His infinite wisdom, He is causing people to cross our paths. God is giving you infinite opportunities to let His Word be spoken, to give the salt and the light that this world needs. And that's what He's asking of us. And so over in John 15, would you go over there just real quickly? Time getting away. John 15 and verse 7 and 8, He says this, "If ye abide in Me and My words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is My Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be My disciples." Let me read verse 7 again. And it says, do you see it? "If you abide in Me and My words abide in you." What does that mean? That contact. No battery acid is sin here that's keeping God's word away from my heart. Each day I'm allowing my heart to be stirred. I'm looking for God to say something to me. I don't want to leave the service unless my heart has been stirred by the singing, the words of the songs, the scripture that's being sung, and by the preaching of the Word of God, by the Sunday school lesson. I want to put forth the effort. I want to abide. And as you do that, you're going to find all kinds of wonderful things. We got to go back to Joshua 1, verse 8 here to find them. But you're going to discern the wonderful commands of God's Word. Oh, look at there. God told me something He wants me to do. I need to get about that. You'll find in the Word of God comfort. Every day somebody, I think, mentioned about comfort in their testimony recently here in our church from God's Word. God will give you conviction, give you backbone. Hey, you know what? God said it. That's right. I need to do that. God will give you counsel about how to deal with situations in your life. God will help you to comprehend Himself. There's only so much in this world my little brain can comprehend of God, but there's 66 books in the Bible. And they're filled with truths about Him that He wants me to know and understand and be able to apply in my life. And He will help me to comprehend those things. But He wants me, in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, to be dedicated to that meditation upon His Word. Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." How many people can play golf and make a living doing that? You know, there's a lot of people play golf. There's a lot of people that are very good at golf. And I didn't mean to discourage you when I said those things about. But You know, there aren't many. I can remember a lady coming here and getting some materials in order to possibly put their child in the Christian school. And I asked her, I said, you just moved to Beaufort. Why'd you move to Beaufort? What, you know, what's here? Most people, it, you know, has to do with the military or some support industry involving military. And she said, my husband's a golf pro. Boy, I tell you what, I just paused for a minute. I never met the wife of a golf pro. How about that? He makes a living on the golf course telling people how to break their clubs and throw their clubs away. And that's amazing that he can do that. That someone would actually hire him, that he's that good, that he could do it. I mean, they have golf pros that make a lot of money on the circuit, but this guy shows people how to golf. He's a golf pro. And, you know, there are a lot of people who are good with computers. It's always good to have a friend who's a geek, right, and knows a little bit about computers. You call them up, my computer's doing this. What am I supposed to do? And they always tell you the same thing, turn it off, turn it on. And they're always right, you know. But anyway, you need that person. But there aren't as many folks who can make a living in the computer industry that are IT folks and specialists. And, I mean, large corporations come and ask them questions, and they solve tremendous problems. And God said, if you want to dedicate yourself to something, this is what I want you to do. Dedicate yourself. Dedication to meditation. If you're going to get the power to fulfill why I put you on this planet, after salvation, you have my Holy Spirit within you. You have the Word of God. You must give yourself daily to that meditation upon my word. You've got to be serious about it. The Bible word is sober. In fact, so serious that the Bible, and I'm not going to turn there for the sake of time, Psalm 119, 148, the Lord talks about meditation day and night. And there's a principle there. We have a consciousness and a subconscious. And during the day, most of the time, our consciousness is taken over, hopefully. Especially when we're driving. But anyway, our consciousness. But then at night when we go to sleep, we have a subconscious. And they tell us, psychologists tell us, that during the night, many times you wake up and you're not very rested because you went to bed with a problem. And you wrestled with it in your subconscious, really. I've had this experience. Sometimes I've gone to bed with a problem and I woke up with a solution. And I thought, wow, I need to sleep more. That would be a good idea. But the Lord says in Psalm 119, 148, and that's not the only place. The psalmist talks about day and night, meditating on his bed, on the Word of God. One of the wisest things is as you go to bed, is just to be thinking about the Word of God. Give your subconscious the truth of God's Word to chew on. And guess what God says He will do? He says, it's my delight. Psalm 1:2, He says, I'll bless you. Psalm 19:14, he says, you'll be acceptable in my sight. Psalm 49 and verse 3, he says, you'll understand. You'll have understanding. Psalm 143 and verse 5, he said, it'll keep you from sin. Psalm 63 and verse 6, he says, I'll give you peace in this world. You'll unlock the power of personal blessing. You'll be protected, and God will become real and personal to you. And this morning, we desperately need to be connected to the Word. Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. As you get settled there, we love in every service to have a hymn of invitation. And in a moment, we're going to stand to our feet after we pray and invite folks that may be here this morning. And you're here and you don't know that if you died, you'd go to heaven. I believe that's the most important issue in the world. It's a starting place to understand the Bible. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of these thous and thuses. That doesn't mean anything. And we live in a world where people are constantly trying to figure out a way without the Holy Spirit to understand it, and they can't. And the only way you can is through salvation in Jesus Christ and becoming a new creature. God's Holy Spirit comes into your life, and He is the one who unlocks the great mysteries because He's the author of this book. And He knows the truths that you need right now. You need Christ as your Savior. If you're not sure that if you died, you'd go to heaven, in a moment we'll be standing, heads will be bowed, eyes will be closed around the building, and I invite you to come and have some courage and be strong and say, you know, I need to take care of this today. Let me get you with someone that'll take the Bible and show you what God said to do to be saved. They will do it carefully. They'll do it quickly. It's a very simple thing. It's called God's simple plan of salvation. And this morning, they'll be glad to show you the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in payment for your sins, and how a person accepts that as their only hope of heaven. And if you'll come, we'll be glad to help you to do that this morning. You come. You may be here and you're a Christian. And you stop for a moment before you think about lunch and what you're going to do this afternoon and whether it's going to rain this afternoon and all your plans for this coming week. Got this off your checklist here. Got to church. That's important. And important for me and my family. I did it. Okay. But before you check that off, how's that under the hood there, your spiritual life? How long has it been since the Word of God has stirred you? You understand that's not to be just I went to a retreat and I heard something and I got stirred. It's to be a daily thing. The Lord says to abide in His Word. And the longer I go, and this time of year is probably one of the worst times of the year, because we get out of schedules with vacations and we do so much in the evenings because it's light and the weather's great and nothing wrong with those things. We need those things. But the battery acid begins to grow and it gets really bad before we even know it. And then one day we're in a critical moment of decision and choice and we stick the key in and we need to move. And we can't, because the power is not there. There's not an abiding contact with God's Word. Would you have the courage today to say, hey, you know what? I needed that. That addresses some issues in my heart. You don't have to tell me that. I sure wouldn't tell me, but I'd tell the Lord that. We have a way of doing that. We use these front steps and we use these front pews and we just take it to God. Lord, I heard you this morning. And Lord, I want to spend more time meditating on your Word. I don't want to just allow myself to go day after day without hearing from you, service after service, just checking it off my to-do list. Lord, I want my heart to be stirred for spiritual things. And Lord, my voice box is touching so many people. The UPS guy, the FedEx guy, the person at Belk's, the folks at Penny's, the people I work with, the people I'm related to, the people I'm married to, it touches them. God, help me to communicate good things, truth. You've designed it so. Come on. Father, thank you for this service and the blessing of being in this place. And Lord, you know our needs. You knew the needs of the folks that would need this today. We're here. And Lord, I pray this morning that we would take seriously the truths here of your Word and that our hearts would be responsive to what you want to do. If there is a man or a woman, a teen or a boy or girl in this building this morning, and they are uncertain about the truth that if they died, whether they would go to heaven or not, Lord, I pray that they would be sobered, serious, and that in just a moment when we stand to our feet and heads are bowed and eyes are closed, that they would slip out and meet me here at the front. They won't have to come very far. As I see them coming, I'll be glad to come and greet them and then get them with a person. If it's a lady, it'll be a lady. If it's a man, it'll be a man. And that we can help them to see your simple plan of salvation. Lord, there's been a connection there today. And if we just turn around and walk out, we don't do anything about that connection, then it gets easier and more distant, harder for the Word to bring conviction. And so, Lord, I pray that hearts will be tender today and come. I pray for us as Christians. Lord, we here in this service this morning, and we look and we realize it's been a long time. We've read a lot of Scripture. We've read a lot of books. We've heard a lot of messages, going to a lot of seminars. But our hearts have not been stirred. Lord, may we see the acid that's building and how desperate the situation is. So that as we need your power, that it is available through our hearts. And not only that, so that what is coming out of our mouth is a blessing and uplifting, exhorting, encouraging to others, directing others to Jesus Christ instead of a closer walk with the weather or football or all the things, the pleasures of this life that so often come out of our mouths. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.